Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went unto the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. I want to talk to you about the blessing of the storm. You may be seated. If you're watching from North Carolina, you just turn me off. So that guy's talking about the blessing of the storm. We're not going to watch him. We're praying for the people in North Carolina and Florida and various that have gone through these terrible, terrible storms. Those are really not exactly the storms that I'm talking about. Even the title of this sermon begs an explanation. I'm going to show you that there's a purpose for this storm on the Sea of Galilee many years ago, and that we might be able to recognize the value of our own storms. Because I can tell you this, the Bible never promises you that you won't go through a storm just because you get saved. The Bible does not say that you won't go through troubles, trials, and storms. He just says he'll deliver you out of them all. So we will go through storms in our life. The disciples were in this storm not because they were out of the will of God. You know, you've got to be real careful the counsel you receive from good brothers and sisters and preachers that are well-meaning but misguided for your particular situation. Everything somebody says to you is not from God, and you don't need to hear it. And so you've got to be able to sort it out and say, they don't know what they're talking about. That's not where I am. And so when you go through a storm or a trial, somebody will tell you, just like Job's comforters, his friends, they'll say, it's your fault. Sometimes you go through storms and it's not your fault. Sometimes it is. You go through a trial and it's not because you're disobedient or you failed God. It's because you're a living human being. It's because there's a real devil that hates you. You're going through certain things. And so it's not always that you're out of the will of God when you go through a storm. The disciples were in a storm not because they were out of the will of God. They were in a storm because they were in the will of God. The Bible said in my text, they find themselves in the storm, but the Bible said in my text, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. They were in that ship because Jesus told them to. And Jesus knew there was going to be a storm, and he still sent them out in that ship in a storm. I'm going to show you the purpose of the storm on the Sea of Galilee many years ago so you can recognize when you're in a storm and there is value to it. Jesus constrained them to get into the ship. It was God's will. There was two things that were predestined. What do you mean by predestined? You can't alter them. They're just going to happen no matter what. So there were two things that were predestined. Number one, they would encounter a storm. That was predestined. They couldn't do anything about that. And secondly, they would arrive in Capernaum safely. Those two things were predestined. I preached a sermon years ago on to 17 million people on PTL called The Power of a Pronoun. Jesus said in another storm, he said, let us go to the other side. When Jesus says us, it's good news. That means he includes you with him. And there's lots of promises in the Bible where he said, let us. And so when he says us, that means we are going to accomplish what he said we were going to accomplish. And friend, no matter how much lightning there was, no matter how much wind there was, no matter how high the waves were, no matter how great the storm was, they were going to arrive at Capernaum because it was a predestined destination that Christ had called them to. A terrible storm arises on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was predisposed to have lots of storms. And so they were there, and Jesus had just worked this tremendous miracle of feeding 5,000 men, and the Bible said men, not including the women and the children, so we don't know what the crowd was, maybe 10,000, maybe more than that, and he had fed them with just a few loaves and fishes. He had just done this great miracle. Now he said, you guys get in the boat, you go to Capernaum, and I will meet you there later. I'm going to pray. And so Jesus went to pray. And he no doubt was praying for his disciples because he knew what they were going through. I take heart in the fact that Peter was a failure, but Jesus prayed for him anyway, and he became a victor through his own failure. Because we all will fail, but that doesn't mean that Jesus quits interceding for you. Christ is interceding for every one of us. And so they're in this boat, and when they got as far from the shoreline as they possibly could, the storm became amazingly worse. And if you read the history on it, they have sailed now in what should have been just a short journey over the Sea of Galilee, just a short journey. They have now been in the storm for about 9 hours. 9 hours of toiling and rowing and fighting that storm. And they were extremely afraid. They were afraid they were going to capsize. They were afraid that they were going to drown. They were afraid they were not going to make it. And then suddenly, through the storm, they look up and they see somebody walking on the water. You would have thought that after they had been with Christ and they just saw him feed 5, 10, 15,000 people with a few fishes and bread, that they would have had so much faith in him that they would have expected him, but they were not expecting him. Friend, when you are in the midst of a storm, the greatest thing you can do is expect divine intervention. Expect that Christ is going to come to you in your storm. And what the devil means for destruction, Christ is going to establish his purpose. There's a purpose to your storm. There's a victory in that storm that you can't get anywhere else. And so Christ comes walking through the storm, through the briny water, through the lightning flashes, through the roar of the thunder, through the great waves. Here he comes walking on the water through that storm. And you would have think that they would raise their hands and say, oh, praise God. But the Bible said they thought he was a spirit, or they supposed him to be a ghost. They had more confidence in ghosts than they did in the presence of God. There's people in America that have more faith in Halloween than they do the resurrection. Friend, I want to tell you that I'm not much spooky. I don't believe in those kind of ghosts. I don't believe in haunted houses. I don't believe in superstitions that a lot of. My confidence is in the Lord God Almighty. I believe that his spirit is supernaturally more powerful than any superstition that we could possibly have. But these disciples that had walked with Christ for a short while now have just seen him perform a miracle that's never been done on the face of the earth, did not recognize him. And somebody said, why didn't they recognize him? Because they weren't looking for him. If you're not looking for him, you will never, ever see him. You'll always suppose it was something else. I get miracles. Other people get coincidences. Good things happen in my life, and I give God praise, and people suppose, well, you know, it just happened. That's just an accident. I don't believe that. I believe God designs blessings in my life. I believe God makes miracles in my life. I go through some storms, so I'm always expecting Christ to show up. And Jesus' message in the storm is always the same. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That's always God's message to his people in the storm, is to be of good cheer. Is that not what the angel spoke to Paul when he was on the ship and it was being torn asunder? An angel stood by him and said, be of good cheer. And Paul turns to those people that are with him and he said, be of good cheer. We'll all be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, there's tremendous benefit in having a good attitude. There's a tremendous benefit in being optimistic. People that are negative are always looking for a problem in the situation. But people that are positive are always looking for a miracle in a situation. God's going to turn it around. And so Peter has gotten a lot of accolades from preachers and people, because when he finally recognized it was Christ, what did he say? He said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come." He climbed out of that boat and began to walk on the water, and we have celebrated that for years. And my question today, this is the sacred cow. My question is, why? Why are we so excited about him walking partway and sinking? Because Jesus was coming to the boat. There was no need to get out of the boat. Just wait, and Jesus will get in your boat. Friend, we make great mistakes of getting out of the boat. The Bible teaches us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And so I've spent a lifetime of staying in the church. And I promise you, it's a wheel within the middle of the wheel. I might not see nothing for a moment, but that wheel comes around and I reach out and get my gold ring. God always has blessed me, and the blessings in my life have become because I'm a regular attendee in the house of the Lord, and I don't quit just because things get tough. I say, hell can do what it wants to, but I'm going to stand because I have this assurance that Christ will get in my boat. I'm not trying to be a superstar. You say, that's just amazing that Peter walked on the water. Not very much. He failed. He sank. And he didn't establish a precedent. I've been on this earth a while, and I've never seen anybody else walk on the water. It wasn't something that Jesus said, boy, that's neat. I'm going to have my people walk on the water all the time. No, it was a one-time event that accomplished absolutely nothing. I've been watching people get out of the boat and sink most of my life. It's not very impressive. It's much more impressive to watch people stay in the boat and get to the other side. People always want the melodramatic. They want those things that are exceptional. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there's tremendous value in the daily benefits of the Lord. So many people want to conquer the mountain, but there are so many benefits of just letting the Lord bring to you every day what he wants to do in your life. I've chosen to abide Paul's admonition in Acts 27 when he said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Friend, I've got some bad news for all the free agent saints of God around the world. If you don't go to church because you can't go to church, if you don't go to church because there's not a church, if you don't go to church because you have physical limitations, you, friend, have found what God wants you to do. Worship where you are. But if you refuse to come to God's house and support God's church, you are a very selfish individual, and you stand a good chance of not going to God's eternal house because you didn't like his temporary house. There is something to be said about David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There's something to be said when he said, in his presence is fullness of joy. If you are in love with God, but you don't like God's people enough to associate with them, you might want to check yourself. Because you can't love God whom you have not seen if you don't love God's people who you have seen. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there is something in a person that is born again, filled with God's Spirit, living for God, anticipating resurrection, looking forward to heaven. There's something about them that they are drawn to God's people, and they're drawn to fellowship, and they're drawn to God's house. And so those people that choose to get out of the boat and walk on their own have a pretty bad destination, and they might be sinking pretty quickly. But when Jesus came to the boat, that's what I want to talk about. And the Bible said when they were come into the ship, that's Jesus dragging Peter with him. When they get into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were in the ship, came and worshiped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The storm produced three things, and the storm ought to produce three things in your life. And that is, it will prove to you, number one, that God is able to survive a storm, and God is able to equip you where you will survive a storm. God will be with you in that storm, and he will cause the storm to cease. You ought to have that confidence all the time. My life is not all roses. Sometimes it's thorns. But I know that if I will wait and stand still, I will inevitably see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will always turn around. The Lord will always make a way. The Lord will always take the storm the devil created and making something good out of it. God proves himself to me. When Jesus arrived in the ship, the storm ceased. Friend, I cannot tell you how many storms that I've been through, but the news is I'm through all of them. I'm not in a storm right now. There might be other storms, but I can weather them, and I know I can because I've weathered storms for all these years, and God has never forsaken me. He's never left me. He's never abandoned me. He's always been my God, and I'm here on this Sunday morning to just tell you what I've experienced. I've experienced a God that will always supply my need. He'll always make a way. He will never abandon me. He will never desert me. If I'll just be true to the Lord, God will take care of me. And he's done it all these years. He's taken care of me in the face of enemies. He's taken care of me in face of deriding friends. He's taken care of me when lawyers gave me bad reports. And when doctors gave me bad reports, I couldn't depend on the lawyer. I couldn't depend on the doctor. I couldn't depend on the friends. But praise God, I've put my confidence in the Lord. And just like this occasion, Jesus caused the storm to stop. And somebody that's in a storm right now, I promise you, if you won't quit, if you'll just stay with the boat and you'll just keep God praising God, I can promise you that storm that you're in will be over after a while. And when you're on the other side of the storm, you'll say, thank God, because something happened in the storm that had never happened in the disciples' life. There are many records of what had happened with the disciples prior to the storm. They saw the miracle of him feeding the multitude. They had seen other minor miracles. They had heard his teaching. But not one time is there a record in the Bible before this verse that said, and the disciples worshiped him. It was the first time that his disciples ever worshiped him. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you go through a storm, you'll have a testimony. The reason why some people don't have a testimony, they don't realize what God has brought them through. They don't have any miracles. I went to Dallas, Texas a number of years ago and preached a dedication of a church. And the next day, the pastor met with a pastor that was visiting the service the night before. He said, I didn't think much of your little preacher from San Antonio. He said, you didn't like him? He said, no. He said, too many bear and lion stories for me. My friend said, if you want to go with me, I'll take you to San Antonio and show you the bear and lion skins. Friend, I've been through some hell, but heaven's always emerged. I've been through some war, but peace is always manifest. I've been through some sickness, but health has always emerged. I've been through some bankruptcy, but money always showed up. I've lost some friends, but God has replaced them with better friends. I'm going to tell you, out of the storm, I always came out better than I was. And I learned the same lesson that the disciples learned. I am going to worship Jesus Christ because he is the storm quieter. Never before had Peter, John, and James worshiped the Lord, but on that ship, for the very first time in their life, they became a worshiper. If there's somebody in this church that makes a scene, and you sit back there and fold your arms and said, I just wish she wouldn't do that. That just distracts me. That annoys me. You say, I don't know why she does that. Apparently, she's been through a storm that you haven't been through. You're just going to have to excuse her. She's been to hell and back. She's been through sickness and cancer and still alive. She's had some kids turn against her that got saved. She's been broke and now she's all right. She's been dying and now she's well. So just excuse her if she wants to act up. Oh, these disciples became worshipers because Christ came walking on the water and manifest himself in the storm. And that's the reason why Living Way is Living Way and we're not First Baptist or Second Presbyterian. It's because the people that come to this church have been through some things and God saw them through. He brought them up and he brought them out. He made a way when it was impossible. They don't believe that God is a philosophy. They believe that he is an ever-present help in the time of need. They don't believe that Jesus is a doctrine. They believe he's a real Savior that plucked them from the fire and the mire and put them on the solid rock. So you'll just have to excuse us. We're much like the disciples on the ship that we thought was going to capsize, but just in the nick of time, Jesus showed up and the wind died down and the waves quit and the storm stopped and the thunder ceased to roll, and they said, praise Jesus. For the first time in our life, we're going to recognize him and we're going to praise him. Hallelujah. This is the blessing of the storm. You prove your God. There's a whole lot of people trying to follow Jesus that have never proven him. It's hard to follow Jesus if all you've got is a concept and a philosophy. It's hard to follow Christ if your Christianity is merely psychological. But friend, after you've been some places and seen some things and was ready to quit and you thought all hope was gone and everybody walked off and left you by yourself, and then out of the darkness of the storm, Christ showed up. And he said, I am your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Don't worry, I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. If you've ever been in a hospital, and as Becky's song said, the doctor shook his head and looked forlorn. That's one of my favorite lines in any song. When the doctor shook his head and looked forlorn. I've been there. When the doctor had no answer. And when the doctor left, the great physician showed up and said, be not afraid. I am the healer. By my stripes, ye are healed. You're going to get out of this hospital bed. Hallelujah. I know they preach the great sermon, Sunday's on the way. But I know in my case, the doctor told Becky on Friday, he won't be here come Monday. But praise God, Monday came and I was still there. And the doctor said we didn't operate on Friday because we didn't think there was any hope. It's something when God gives your doctor a hope transfusion. When the doctor that looked forlorn suddenly said, there's a glimmer of hope. He might just pull through. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, my Lord has proven himself to me in the storms of my life. I don't have any trouble coming to church. I love to come to his church because of what he's done for me. I don't have any trouble praising him. The storm has made me a praiser. I can't help myself. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm like Elder William Ellis that used to pastor across town. We were in Austin one time in church. He was sitting beside me, and he got up and he said, "You just have to excuse me, Elder." He said, "When I get in church like this, I can't help myself." And he just got up and shouted all over the building. He said, "I just got to do it sometimes." Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you've got something inside of you, after a while, it's going to wake up like Jesus did on the boat. Hallelujah. You can't let the Holy Spirit be domain all your life. Sooner or later, that Holy Spirit's going to wake up. It's just going to quicken your body. Say, what in the world is wrong with her? It's a practice run for the rapture. It's a practice for the resurrection. If that same spirit be in you, which was in Christ, it will quicken your mortal body. Sometimes the spirit in us just gets quick. We got to show off a little bit. We got to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. We got to shout a little bit. We got to praise God. Sometimes we get thinking about where we're headed and what we're going to do and who we're going to see and how we're going to act. And we kind of get beside ourselves. And we're like John on the Isle of Patmos. We get in the spirit on the Lord's day. We can't help ourselves. We just got to shout. We got to cry out, hallelujah. We got to dance a little bit. We got to clap a little bit. We might even have to run through a troop and leap over a wall. Oh, I feel it right now. I'm feeling the same spirit that's going to get me out of the coffin. I'm feeling the same spirit that's going to catch me away one of these days. I'm feeling the same spirit that's going to take me through the gates of pearl and down the street of gold and take me from mansion to mansion. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room today in Jesus' name. Let me hurry on. My time clock has taken her place at the keyboard. It means my time is short. But there's one more point I want to make. It was the first time the disciples ever worshiped Jesus when they came through the storm. And then the Bible said, they said, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Before the storm, they were questioning the statements Christ had made. They were wondering if he was who he said he was. But when he came walking on the water through that storm, and the storm stopped, they said, "Of a truth, you are the Son of God." The storm did two things. It made them worshipers, and it revealed the identity of Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. That was a big deal in Jesus. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am, you should die in your sins." Peter, "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say I am?" But on that ship after the storm, they said, "You are unquestionably the Son of God." Friend, I just know there are a lot of great people in history, but there's only one I worship, and his name is Jesus. Muhammad might have been a great man, but I've got no praise for him. There are great religious leaders that have done great things, but there's only one like Jesus. He's the only Emmanuel, God with us. He's the only one that died on the cross for my sins. He's the only one that has sent his Holy Spirit back to dwell in my life. And so because I've been through some storms, it's not just from the pages of the book. It's not just the doctrines I've been taught, but I have a personal revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How do you know? Because he has proven himself after storm, after storm, after storm, after storm, after problem, after trial, after tribulation, after tribulation. He is my God. I worship him. I glorify him. Friend, when you're 75 years of age, you don't care what anybody says about your God. You're not compromising in Him. If you're ashamed of Him before man, He will be ashamed of you before the Father. I'm not ashamed of my God. Bring my lawyers, bring my doctors, bring my millionaire business compadres and let them settle in the front seat. But I'm not going to hold my punch. I'm not going to change my message. I'm not going to stifle my praise, because any day now, it won't be long, I'm going to see Him face to face. And what are you going to say? I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for bringing me through the storm. I'm here to worship You because You are the Son of God, and there's no question about that in my mind. Will you stand on your feet and give Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your best praise right now? I want to tell you the truth. You're going to go through storms. Even tell you this, when you become a born again, spirit filled, Holy Ghost filled Christian, you'll probably encounter some storms that you would not have encountered if you'd have stayed in the world. So I'm not going to deceive you. Storms are coming, and you're going through some storms in your life. But I promise you, if you will find out who Christ is and you'll become a worshiper, your storm will stop, and you'll walk out, and you will land at Capernaum shore and say, what a trip, but we made it. We made it. We made it. And not one sick among us, not one injured among us. We made it. Praise God, you're going to make it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God has done for me and what I've seen Him do for others is beyond contradiction. I've told 10 times from that building to this about the lady in Baton Rouge. I'll never forget. She was a praiser, and she did not anticipate that cancer was going to take her down and nearly out. But at that service and that night in Baton Rouge, she weighed less than 90 pounds. Cancer had racked her body. The doctors had sent her home with no hope. It's just a matter of days now. But she made her way from that second pew to the front of that building, and she began to worship like we have people worshiping here that you say, I don't know why they do that. She began to worship God. She looked like she is 9 months pregnant, emaciated in her face. But as she praised God right in front of me, I watched that dress just go down, 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 down. And when I left Baton Rouge, Louisiana, she gave me a sheaf of papers, which were her medical records, that she had inoperable cancer and could not live. She said, I won't be needing these anymore. She gave me a Timex watch, said, Pastor, said, take this and just remember every time you see this little watch, it's time to praise God. What are you saying? I'm saying the cancer storm was real. But when she worshiped God, Jesus got on her boat. He healed her body. And from that miracle, her husband got saved, and her little 12-year-old boy got healed of blindness. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that there is a blessing in the storm. If you don't panic, quit, stop, forget the miracle of the loaves. Jesus is in this room right now, and there's somebody.